numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek in the hizzy this morning. And it is Bet Bash 3. And again, one of the joys of having Bet Bash in town, Spanky's Bet Bash, is that folks are kind enough who are attending the conference to roll through the show and to talk about all of the bets they're making, all of their thought processes. And we'll hear from Jason Weingarten a little later on. He'll roll through. Our old buddy from Under Cloud of Smoke will be in studio. And then making his second appearance in as many years, made his debut appearance on the show last year, went 5-2 on his alternate season win totals. One of the great sports betting minds to sort of delve into, and he will have bets here at the end. From Plus EV Analytics on Twitter, it's Matt Buckalter. How you doing, Matt?
Good morning, Gil. It is so great to be here. Thanks for having me back.
You wore a equally colorful shirt last year, as I recall.
Last year, I wore a pink shirt selected by my wonderful daughter, Sophie.
Oh, nice.
And it was my son Zachary's turn to pick my outfit this year. He got me this blue shirt for Father's Day, and I promised I would wear it on
TV. That's awesome.
Believe it or not, going on live TV is not something I get to do every day in my my normal life. So this is pretty special for me to be here.
I so appreciate you doing this, man. The pleasure is ours. I want to ask you first about Bet Bash. What is it that you're looking forward to the most?
So last year I came to Bet Bash having no idea what to expect and had the absolute time of my life. And, you know, I had to come back even though it's in August, even though I've got a family trip back to Vegas in a few weeks.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do. So okay. I'm coming twice. I had to make it happen because Bet Bash is just absolutely amazing. It's kind of a combination of professional conference, Vegas party, fantasy camp. I got to meet Roxy Roxborough yesterday. Like, these are just legends of the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're only one day in, but I'm having an amazing time again so far.
Love it. You came on the show last year. You were kind enough also to come on and talk about the case for alternate season win totals. And we talked a little bit about, you know, first-year coordinators, returning coaches, and vice versa. So in 2020, you introduced a quantitative model. You refined it last year with that in mind, as I recall. What was it about the model that you decided, well, there's still something that's gnawing at me that needs to change with this? As successful as you were, because you were 5-2 with the picks last year, what was it that you feel still needed to be done?
So the thing that I added to the model this year was the idea that the width of the range of possible outcomes can vary from team to team. So in the past, this is something that I always wanted to do, but found it very difficult to actually quantify. And this year, you can read in my article at plusevanalytics.com, I combined a couple of different ways of answering really a couple of key questions that will help us determine how wide or narrow each team's range is. So one of those questions is, do we know what we're getting from a given team? So team like the Chiefs or the Eagles, you know, barring any injuries or anything, you pretty much know what you're getting from those teams. Team like the Jets or the Broncos, you know, you really, you know, these teams could be great this year. These teams could be absolutely terrible this year. You really don't know what you're getting. Beyond that, the other big unknown is injuries. And, of course, in the NFL, the quarterback position is head and shoulders more important than any other position on the fields. So you look at each team and you look at, okay, well, the Chiefs, if Mahomes gets hurt, there is a big, big drop-off down to the backup. Whereas if you look at some of these teams that have a little bit more of a quarterback competition or a quarterback controversy, like the Colts or Washington, it's actually a bit of a good thing to have a quarterback controversy at this point in the season, because you get a little bit of a risk mitigation because, okay, no matter who gets ultimately selected as the starter, if they go down, you know, the fact that there was a quarterback competition at the beginning of the season means that whoever the number two guy ends up being is good enough that they can hang at least with the team. So you have a little bit of a lower kind of variance in that team's distribution of outcomes compared to a team with a superstar and then a big drop off to a scrub in the backup role.
Yeah, this is, you know, I started the show by saying your brain is bigger than all of ours, and I I just to sort of distill this, that's what sort of separates the really, really heady bettors and the great bettors from others, which is you had this model going, you were successful with it, but yeah, the variance in outcomes of these teams, which you had just sort of made static for everyone, you're like, that I know intuitively there's a lot of it, there's because there is some do these things pass the eye test beyond just the model itself,
totally.
Right, that's a big thing, and you're like, it doesn't. And the task of going about that is not an easy one, right? That's probably why you prolonged or you procrastinated on this, right?
Yeah, I mean, there is a little bit of neurosis that goes into it. Okay, this is good, but I can make it better. It's not perfect, I can make it better. And this is the lifelong journey of a quantitative mind in sports betting or in a lot of other domains. It's never perfect, and you just keep improving and improving because the market improves as well, and you've got to be ahead of it.
I don't want to give away your whole article at Plus EV Analytics, but you talk about four different things that you did. You called it the data, the crowd, the clipboard, and you affectionately called the fourth Jeffrey Benson, which is our buddy over
huge fan
over at Circa. The crowd had to do with how wide the distribution of possible outcomes is for that team's 2023 win total. What did you do to get at that?
Yeah, so I just did a bunch of polls on Twitter. I'm fortunate enough to have a decent number of Twitter followers who like to interact and engage with me. Posted a poll for each team. You know, I think Twitter lets you have four options in your poll. So very wide, wide, narrow, very narrow. How would you, the public, rate the width of each team's distribution? Because it's the wisdom of crowds.
Wisdom of crowds.
Theory. When you have a very complex, difficult question to answer, and you average the answers of, I got 300, 400, 500 responses for some of these teams. And, you know, often, not always, but oftentimes, the collective wisdom of the crowd is better than even the biggest expert in the world. Now, I incorporated some expert analysis as well.
Right.
But again, when you're doing something, I call it dirty analysis, where you don't have perfect data and you have to kind of scratch and claw your way to answers.
And you have to be okay with that.
You have to be okay with that.
Yeah.
But one of the best things you can do in an environment like that is use as many different ways of getting to an answer as you possibly can and average them together, because none of the individual methods is going to be perfect, and you just hope that by averaging a bunch of different methods together, they'll sort of average each other out.
Yeah, I shouldn't have led with the poll, because there's going to be somebody who tuned out. Was like, he just did a poll. No, that's not what it was. That's just one little tool. The data that you were talking about, you relied, our buddy Drew Dinsick was one of the folks you relied on in terms of getting the sort of rankings of starting and backup quarterbacks.
Yes, that's one area of it where you do need a little bit more domain expertise, because not everybody out there even could name the backup quarterback on the Indianapolis Colts. But my friends Drew Dinsick and Fabian Sommer, who are just amazingly
awesome,
brilliant NFL experts, did me the privilege of giving me their what I call clipboard delta.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous nickname from my friend Andy Molitor, who is with Drew on the Deep Dive podcast, coined this term clipboard delta, as in how big is the difference between each team's starting quarterback and their backup quarterback.
So you could rely on those. And then, you know, what you called Jeffrey Benson, this is, for betting purposes, this is the key to all of it, correct? Which is?
Yeah, so I actually noticed, looking at Circa's odds list, that they were actually, I assume this is on purpose, but I don't know for sure, on the same wavelength as me, where...
A little disappointing, huh?
Yeah, a little. I mean, a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was disappointing in that it eroded a little bit my edge, but it was helpful in that I could take what they did, which is they had different levels of spread between their main lines and their alternate lines for different teams. So I was actually able to take their odds and reverse engineer, if they were building a model that was structured like mine, what would their variance parameters have been based on reverse engineering from their lines?
So let's before people's heads explode on that, so let's try to crystallize that, which is, so if team X is, you know, well, I shouldn't use X, but let's use a team that has low variance and a team that has wide variance. What you could see in their alternate season win totals was juice, varying juice, that led you to, well, a couple things. One, you saw that what you were doing was kind of right based on what you were seeing. Like, oh, wow, there's, you know, their numbers kind of reflect what I was doing. And on the other hand, it showed you where bets obviously could be triggered and where they weren't. That's obviously the end game of this.
Yeah. I mean, these are more, we're still a month or so up from the season, so we're still in the sort of opener slash market maturing phase. But so I can't know whether these differences came from their openers or from market forces. I mean, it really doesn't matter that much for what I'm doing. Yeah, a team like the Jets, the Circa alternates would have paid less plus money on, you know, the alternate over on the higher number or the alternate under on the lower number. So you're still getting plus money, but you're getting less plus money than you would have for a different team.
It's fascinating, man. I just, you know, for the average listener, I think what it does is drive home the fact that it's like, oh, while you are betting these things and doing it, you know, a lot of people, there's a spectrum of sports bettors, a lot of people just doing stuff intuitively by eye test. You're in the same market are folks like Matt Buckalter here, plus EV Analytics, who are doing it in such a really a deliberate mathematical kind of way, testing your assumptions, culling from different areas where you feel like you need to grab information to come up with the best answers. And in the end, you've got five alternate season win totals, and then some yes-no playoff bets to share with us, and a most wins and a fewest wins. Can we do those on the other side?
Sure can.
Let's do it. That's what it all comes down to. A grand total of 9, I believe that is, 9 bets on the other side from Matt Buckalter, plus EV Analytics, that is. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's a numbers game from the South Point, the majestic South Point Hotel Casino on the tip of the strip. Matt Buckalter from Plus EV Analytics, kind enough to hang for another segment. Before we get into your season-long NFL plays, something sort of fell into our lap today. It was the Ron Rivera, Eric Bieniemy strange story where Rivera sort of goes out of his way to say, I told the guys, talk to him. But they're a little concerned, which was really odd.
Yeah, Mr. Bieniemy might be taking the Commanders title a little bit too literally.
But just the fact that a head coach would go out and say that is just odd, right? Whether it's true or not.
Oh, for sure. And this is an example, a very timely example of one of the things that I originally wrote about last year and carried through into this year's version of the model, which is when you have either a new head coach and a returning offensive coordinator or a returning head coach and a new offensive coordinator like we have in this case, those teams are 22 over, 46 under to their regular season win totals since 2015.
22 and 46,
and you think of why that might be, and we talked about this last year a little bit, the potential for a little bit of team chemistry issues, a little bit of locker room discombobulation that you may have going on. So I woke up this morning, saw the news, and I said, hey, this is perfect timing. So if you are a Washington Commanders fan, this may not be the greatest sign.
Well, the counterintuitive part to what, I don't know if it's counterintuitive, but most people think, because what you're talking about is new old or old new, talking coaches and coordinators. I think people get old continuity that works, but most people would gravitate with new as, oh no, new coach, new coordinator. But you're saying no, it's not actually that. It's when the two are different that's the issue.
Yeah, and there may be subgroups of new because I don't know in my data whether the new coach and the new coordinator have a pre-existing relationship. Do they know each other already? And those are the kind of things that, again, the data can't tell the whole story, so you have to dig deeper into it. But just on the whole, you know, new head coach, a new offensive coordinator doesn't seem to be too much of a positive or negative indicator. Returning coach, returning coordinator is a slight positive. You have that continuity. But again, the biggest signal in that sort of world is when you have that mix of new, old, old, new.
Yeah.
And
which is something we never talk about. Nobody ever talks about that.
And there are a lot of them this year. I had to write down a whole list. Baltimore, Dallas, Kansas City, Chargers, Rams, New England, Jets, Pittsburgh, Tampa, Tennessee, Washington. There is a lot of them.
Yeah, that's a bunch.
Yeah.
Okay, without further ado, should we get to your plays?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Sorry, I said Pittsburgh. I meant Philadelphia. Oh. I can't write neatly in my little handwritten notes.
Okay, so you gave us a 5-2 on the season last year with your alternate season win totals. Let's start with this year's alternate season win totals. Beginning with this one. This is a very popular one. The Falcons over 9.5 wins, plus 150.
I didn't even know it was a popular one.
Oh, it's, I mean, anecdotally doing this show and listening to experts up and down the network, the Falcons, because of their division, right, because of, right. The, of the weakness of that division, are a very popular over bettor. They're a very popular division bet, but you're going alternate over as well.
I like the Falcons. Second-year quarterback is another one that I don't think there were many of them last year, second-year quarterbacks. There are a decent number of them this year. Brock Purdy in San Fran, Ritter in Atlanta, Pickett with the Steelers. I am a big Steelers fan this year, mostly because Kenny Pickett is that prototypical second-year quarterback who tends to make a bigger jump from year one to year two than the markets tend to anticipate. Even Green Bay, Love is not technically a second-year quarterback. He's played bits of 2 years already, mm-hmm. but I think he sort of still fits that mold of someone who hasn't really had the chance to take that leap forward yet, and this year might be the year.
Second one is interesting because if the Falcons are the most consensus, just anecdotally based on who we've chatted with this offseason, the Bears are the one that has, well, I don't know if they're the only one, but they certainly have a variance of opinions. We had Aaron Schatz in the other day. He has them as his lowest season win total. You're going the other way. You got over 8.5 at plus 200.
So variance of opinions is exactly the kind of thing that you want to see mm-hmm. when you're betting alternates, because if you want to be right by a lot, and if you're wrong by a lot,
it's not like you lost
right.
double.
Being wrong by a lot and being wrong by a little, you're going to lose your bet either way.
That's right.
The Bears is again one where I saw that plus 200 probably coming out of that the fact that they had a less than stellar year last year. I don't think they're a super popular pick, as you said. And just the number that I was able to find, I think, was right. The price was right.
Packers, a lot of different opinions on the Packers. Jordan Love led Packers. I tend to think guys who hold the clipboard for years end up being a lot better than we tend to give them credit for. You've got the Packers over 8.5 alternate season win total at plus 165.
Again, a huge variance team with the whole Aaron Rodgers situation, both where he left the Packers and where he's going with the Jets. There is more chaos, I think, with both those teams, where, again, the Packers could be really great. They could win 12 games. They could win 4 games. I'm hoping it's the former,
it's
not
really
the latter.
True. Yeah.
But it's the kind of thing where you bet a little to win a lot. Plus 165 isn't a lot, but it's sort of on that scale where you take a flyer.
And it just deserves reiterating. For those who are listening or be like, what is this guy talking about? All you have to do is look at an NFL, like final NFL standings every year, and juxtapose them against pre-flop season wins, and you will see that these get home all the time. Patriots, alternate season win total under 6.5 wins at plus 155.
So that's going to be a returning coach, new coordinator yes. sort of situation, especially with Belichick running the show over there. Like you don't really know what you're going to get from 1 year to the next. The Patriots are a team with a fairly wide distribution of possible outcomes.
I think so.
Mac Jones has been hot and cold. Like, they could win 10 games, they could win 3 games, and, you put your money down and you hope that the variance works in your favor at least more often than not.
Intuitively, I agree with all these so far in terms of just variance. And the final of the alternate season win totals, the Buccaneers under 5.5 at plus 150.
Again, it's a coach offensive coordinator kind of play. The Buccaneers, I haven't talked to a lot of people who are super hot on the Bucs this year. 5.5 is a pretty low number, though, so not a lot of margin for error. But again, you hope that they could be I think their ceiling is they could be a league average team, and their floor is they could be just a historically awful team this year. And you just hope for the best. So the worst in that case.
You ended up with 5 alternate season win totals this year. Here are a couple to miss the playoffs that might surprise some folks. You got the Ravens missing the playoffs at +150. You got the Jets missing the playoffs at +120.
Yeah, so both of those situations, you have both a head coach offensive coordinator thing. You have quarterback uncertainty. Aaron Rodgers, like, again, you never know what you're going to get out of him. Lamar Jackson, you do know what you're going to get out of him, but he is getting older. He is an injury risk. That team is obviously not the same without him. So, I mean, you never hope for anybody to get injured. But if it happens, then all of a sudden that +150 is looking quite good.
Yeah, and then you delved into the most wins and the fewest wins markets. The Falcons' most wins. I laugh because could you imagine? And with that division, some people can imagine. Falcons to have the most wins available at 60-1. And then you went Buccaneers to have the fewest ones, which is in double digits as well, more 10-11-1.
Yeah, I kind of like these extreme long shots because nobody expects them to win. If the 60-1 doesn't pan out, it's like, I gave it a 3-4% chance of winning. It didn't win. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do?
But value is value.
Value is value, but there's a bit of an asymmetry because if it somehow does win, then, I look like a genius, even though it's more good luck right. than anything else. So a little bit of information asymmetry.
And we'll happily run back this clip next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. But that aside, I am the two teams that I am a big, big fan of this year are the Falcons and the Steelers. I actually bet them both to have the most wins. I just didn't put it all in the article.
So, that article at Plus EV Analytics. Also the Twitter handle where you can find it all. So when you, these are what your numbers have led you to. When you, Matt Buckalter, now look at this intuitively with your own eyes and your own brain, what's the one that you, one or two that you think you like the best?
I'm going to go with the Ravens to miss the playoffs. I think between the uncertainty between Lamar Jackson's injury risk, between the head coach offensive coordinator angle, I think there are a lot of opportunities to win this bet. So that would be my best pick.
Dude, pleasure having you here. Thank you so much for coming down here.
Thank you so much, Gil, for having me. This has been awesome.
Really appreciate it. Again, Plus EV Analytics for all this. And you have plenty of time to get back to speed networking at Bet Bash.
Can't wait. Come hang out.
My man, Matt Buckalter, everybody. Plus the EV Analytics, Jason Weingarten on the other side. He's in studio. Talk some baseball and preseason football next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's football season, and bettors know that this is when the money is made. Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN subscriber. Get our comprehensive college and NFL guides. Only VSiN subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Sign up today for $199. You'll receive both guides and full VSiN access all the way through the Super Bowl, or join us for $19 for your first month and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the sports betting network. We get texts, we get tweets. Fezzik live play-by-play texting the show today, and he had to say, damn, that Tim Lawson was great. Show is awesome. Not sure why he kept his pajamas on to do the show, though. This from the sleeveless Bass Steve Fezzik talking about. That was a tribute to one of his soccer teams here in Las Vegas, right?
Yeah, the Las Vegas Lights.
Sure.
Or at Cashman Field.
At Cashman Field, North Las Vegas. Yeah.
No, Central Las Vegas.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, north of downtown. Anyway.
You know what?
North of downtown is north to me.
I lived here my entire life. I can't tell you when North Las Vegas starts or Henderson.
And he also said, plus EV guy is awesome also. Brilliant actuary. Steve knows about actuaries, him having been one. He having been one in the past as well. Well, wait till he gets a load of the clothes worn by our next guest. Usually comes to us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. He is kind enough to join us down at the South Point today. At Spreadopedia is where you know him on Twitter. It's Jason Weingarten, everybody. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Nice to be here in studio. I like being here in person.
You are welcome whenever you want to come on. You have a Garfield shirt which says, when I die, I may go to heaven. Don't know if they let cowboys in.
It's a great shirt. This is my favorite.
You are wearing this for the speed networking so that people will remember you, you say.
I also just happen to like Garfield. Yeah. But
I'm going to say you could have worn anything people remember.
Yeah. It's kind of warm, so can't do the tracksuit this time.
I have many things to. Oh, I have a tweet that I want to ask you about because you're the perfect person to ask this about. We have not talked about it, you and I. I'm curious if you're down with this. D-Gen Southern Gent. Haven't played Immaculate Grid yet today, but my brain weirdly remembers obscure baseball facts like yours, Gil. And Wyatt mentioning the 98 Yankees, Will Hill mentioning Armando Benitez clicked in my brain and brought me back to the Bronx Brawl. Core memory for me, LOL. Do you play this Immaculate Grid game every day?
So I have never played it.
Oh,
I get tweets about it. People ask me questions, and I'm like, I've never done this.
You'd be the perfect person to do this.
I've heard it's fun. I have not started doing it yet. Okay. I will soon. I see everyone doing it.
Totally addictive, with the point being the more obscure the player, the better. For lower points, that's what you're going for. Okay.
That does sound like fun. I could probably get into that.
Las Vegas Chris texting in, and he was asking me, he goes, wait. He goes, what was this 560-0 thing you were talking about?
Oh.
Week one,
yes.
NFL preseason. Now, I was saying earlier when Will Hill was here, I tried doing this a couple places yesterday, Jason.
They wouldn't let you?
They wouldn't let you.
Oh, I do it online, mostly.
Okay.
I know that it's a little harder to do at brick-and-mortar casinos. You know, some of the FanDuel, DraftKings might still have the option, but we're talking about the 560-0 angle from last year. Okay, so
yeah,
last year, week one preseason, I noticed all the totals were really low, like 35, 34, and it's the same thing this year. I assume they would have adjusted, but nothing. And the three-team 10-point teaser, you're laying like minus 120. Is not ever a really good bet. It's a fun bet. It's not ever a really good bet. But in this case,
in this situation,
yes. In this rare, only week one of the NFL preseason, at this one different spot, you get these totals, like they're 35, and you buy them down 10 points, it's 25.
And they didn't really adjust it this year.
No, nothing. But no. You could essentially stumble into 25 points in a preseason game where you have backups playing backups, and you know it's not like we're playing 1950s, you know, running to the line, you know, 40 times and go home football. This is, you know, you're still going out there to score touchdowns and going to play for a job. So, you know, these guys are trying to play. No one's given up. No one's given up early.
Just to clarify, for those who still don't, was it there were 560 basically
all of the over?
Yeah. 560 possible three-team 10-point over teasers in the NFL week one of preseason last year. They went 560-0. So no matter what
and
three
not
put
only
together,
did they go 560-0, they all flew over.
Flew
except
over.
The one Denver. It was Denver or Cowboys at Broncos.
Yeah.
Total on the 10-point teaser was like 23.5. It landed 24. Needed a touchdown on the last drive for it to go over. I remember because I was at
that.
The,
I don't remember.
I was at the Chargers. I was at the Chargers Rams preseason game that night, and I was like, "Hey, we got to go watch the end of this game on a TV, you know, in the bar or whatever."
Preseason football has never been so fun.
But this year, yeah. So you got like tomorrow. I think the Vikings are like 26 on the 10-point teaser. You get the Bengals like 25 with the Bengals-Packers over 25. And then Rams-Chargers, 24. Like 24 points. Yeah. Team, I don't understand it. They scored like 50-something last year in the game I went to. So
what roughly what percentage of your outs were you able to do this at?
Well, I mean, I could do it on like three or four accounts, you know, for $500 a pop until
wow.
I'm out of credit.
Okay. How many total bets do you think you have?
So far,
yeah.
I probably only have like 10. I have not done a lot. But one of my friends who's
the
here.
The night is young.
One of my friends who's here from Bet Bash that I do a bunch of stuff with. You know, I've been talking to him about it, and I expect we'll probably sit down today and go through all the numbers and you know, I don't want to go crazy on it, but fortunately,
right, because you don't know, right?
Well, I did round robin all the women's soccer unders for the knockout round, mm-hmm. so at least I can just lose that money back on this if necessary. I'm not gonna, you know, hurt myself doing anything crazy, but I will ramp up the exposure on this, especially because you can always just live bet the unders if something looks dicey.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the thing, right? You got to be present for that, and so
that too, yeah. And the only problem I tell people, and this happened last year, is the worst thing is you have your best week of NFL, week one of the preseason.
It's all downhill
because you're not going to go 560-0 again.
But,
you know,
but isn't that the sort of comedy of it all, though? Like for as many heady bets as we like to make that are, you know, numbers driven and well researched or model driven or whatever, that oftentimes, again, the best bets are certainly ones you don't make, right? The ones you avoid, but certainly, but just like sort of brain dead ones like this. And that's, you have to be open to when these opportunities exist.
Also, don't forget, if you have access to these 10-point teasers, a lot of books will allow you to bet the side and the total in the same parlay. So you could bet like the Chargers plus 13 and over 24 and just, you know, key it in with any other leg you want. If they don't win, if they don't cover plus 13 and go over 24, like, yeah, well, I'll live with it. You know, like that's about as correlated as you can get.
Do you make any season-long NFL bets?
I did, actually. If you want to know my first two bets of the season, they're wide receiver over-under props.
Oh, wow.
George Pickens, over 4.5 touchdowns. I thought that was, like, super low. I think he's... Yeah, I don't know if you Google him or anything. His highlights from camp. He's like, I'm the best receiver ever.
Remember that catch he made last year?
He's really good. I mean, he was only dropped to the second round, not because of talent issues.
Oh, he was amazing at Georgia, right? That he dropped. Yeah.
So over 4.5 touchdowns from him. I bet all his overs, over receptions, over yards, touchdowns. I'm looking for him for offensive player of the year. I didn't have an offensive player of the year prop on him. That's going to be. Yeah, I need like 100-to-1 plus for a long shot like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Christian Watson, the wide receiver on the Packers, his touchdown total was 5.5, over 5.5, 140.
I like that one.
That seems super low, even with Jordan Love.
Like, I think Jordan Love's going to be good.
I don't think he's going to be bad.
Yeah.
You know, they would have moved on from him by now if they didn't think he was the guy for the future, at least to, you know, give him a shot. So, you know,
I just think we live in a media era where it's like, it's super quick. People are super quick to bash somebody like that. And again, I've said it a million times, back in the day, if you were able to stay on the sideline under the tutelage of one quarterback and watch for year after year under the same coordinator and the same system, you end up being good by and large.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
we've seen it happen before, but the only thing that kind of worries me is I remember when Rodgers took over from Favre, everybody hated him. Like, all the Packer fans now will be like, oh, I loved Aaron Rodgers. No, you didn't. Like, it's
no.
Everybody was, we want Favre back. You're not Favre, you know. And it's just a really tough spot to be Jordan Love. Maybe Packers fans have become more progressive in the last 20 years or so. I doubt it,
but
though.
But it reminds me, Jason, of, you know, so they've had 20 years of roughly of Hall of Fame quarterbacking, right? So anybody who comes after that, they're going to be suspicious of. It's like in San Francisco in the 90s. They had 20 years of Joe Montana and Steve Young. And then Jeff Garcia rolls in, and they, I don't care what they say now in retrospect, they hate, if he did anything wrong on the field, they destroyed him. He went to 3 Pro Bowls. Like, it
he was
wasn't,
pretty good,
it wasn't
too.
Good enough for
he
them.
He just had,
you know,
a late start to his NFL career.
Some markets are so, Wyatt Tomchek, a noted Green Bay Packers fan, spoiled like Wyatt for these quarterbacks. All these franchises wish they had this kind of play. So doesn't mean just because he's following those two guys that he's not going. I mean, maybe he's not going to be a Hall of Famer.
It doesn't mean he's not going to be good. It's just the expectations are set so high that if he's not perfect, all the Packer fans are just going to be like, I hate this guy. Like, he's not my, you know, he's not Aaron Rodgers.
Our brains do funny things in these types of situations.
I can't wait for football. I'm so glad the Hall of Fame game was back. I slept through most of it, but I was just like, I'm glad it's here. I'm glad we're back to football.
I'm going, like Mike Craig yesterday with Right Angle Sports, we're glad we got you earlier in the week, because could have gotten dicey later on, for sure. More with Jason on the other side. Which of his baseball futures bets are looking good? Which aren't looking so good, which are dead in the water. It's a numbers game. Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. As always, gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Jason Weingarten, my man, kind enough to hang with us. everybody kind this week, heading down from Bet Bash again. Michael Craig and Rob Pizzola yesterday. Tim Lawson this morning, Matt Buckalter, and now Jason. Did you bet anything in baseball today? I should ask you that.
I bet the Reds this morning. It's at like 9:35 Pacific. It's Johnny Cueto pitching for the Marlins. And, you know, I don't know if you've been listening for a while, you know, we never bet on Johnny Cueto.
We never bet on Johnny Cueto. Johnny Cueto still pitching.
Just one of those guys. And he's actually been pitching pretty decently. Not nothing to write home about, but he's given them innings. But give me the Reds today at 117. We need every Marlins loss we can get down the stretch.
For your under.
Yeah, I mean, it's not live. It's very unlive.
So speaking of that, what are the bets you made pre-flop this year? That was your only bet today, by the way?
Yeah, it's the only bet I got so far today.
What are the futures bets, either before the season or during the season, that look good? Which are the ones that are dead in the water?
Gunnar Henderson is looking promising in the rookie of the year race.
With Jung's injury.
Jung. I mean, he was already the favorite before the injury, but post-injury, now it's like him and Masahiro Yoshida and maybe Tristan Casas, but they're teammates. They're on a team in the same division that's much worse, and Baltimore has either the first or the second best record in baseball. So
it's looking good.
I just have a hard time seeing the sort of like how you go through all the logic to vote not Gunnar Henderson.
What's your Gunnar Henderson number?
I got 5-1, got 4-1 before the season. Nice. Then he drifted out. I got 18-1.
You'll know he wins it when MLB Network in November has Gertrude Henderson giving out that award. You'll know.
But then my other bets, you know, I blew the NL Rookie of the Year basically. Corbin Carroll just couldn't be caught.
Well, also he faked us out with those injuries.
Yeah.
That was like, oh, we're winning this. And then, no, not
now
so
it's too late. I mean, if he got injured now, it wouldn't really matter.
That was the weirdest thing. He was like, holding his arm.
Well,
he has a
reoccurring shoulder issue. He's had surgery on it before. It's cost him, you know, time in the minors. That's just something they have to kind of be careful with, or he has to be careful with, because I guess his shoulder is a little tricky. But then a kind of bummer in the AL and NL MVP races. Because,
by the way, with that, you're saying Ellie De La Cruz bets are not getting home, in other words.
I don't see how. I mean, maybe he hits like 20 home runs or something. No. You know, even then, it's a good bet, though. I mean, Ellie's a great player. He's going to have a good career. Just that's how Rookie of the Year goes sometimes. Mm-hmm. But the MVP, I didn't want to bet Ohtani before the season. I thought his odds were too low. So I bet Kyle Tucker. And he's having a great season. Not going to get any credit because, you know, Ohtani's there. And in the NL, I bet Matt Olson. I was like, oh, Matt Olson's having a crazy spring. You know, unfortunately, he's going to get beat by his own teammate. If Acuna wasn't there, he might, you know, he'd still probably get beat by Freddie Freeman. But it's like I'm happy with my process this year. You know, I think I did an even better job this year identifying talent than I have in past years. It's just not necessarily going to translate into, you know, 100-1 winners like it has in the past. It will still be very profitable, especially if Gunnar Henderson gets home. But I have more losers this year, more potential losers, like the Marlins under was one I was big on. And that's, you know, the one run wins earlier are gonna kill me. But they're like 6-18 or something since the All-Star break. They're not playing well and they have a tough stretch of games. So I'm hoping that at least it gives me some excitement, because it's fun, at least when you're even on the losing side of a future like that, at least having it live down the stretch can be enjoyable.
What's the number on them?
76.5.
And 59-56 right now.
It's like 17 or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those that could come down to the last week.
And that's what I like. You want it to come down to the last week. You could bet. You get to watch it. You get to yell at them and go, I hate you. I hope you all lose. You know, like it's fun.
They were, for worst record before the season, they were like 160-1. And that died within 2 weeks.
They looked good. I didn't want them to, and now they're looking like the Marlins. So hopefully it does come down to the last week. If I lose it, I'd like it to be live. It's fun to sweat.
We were saying earlier, AL Cy Young now with McClanahan's injury. Garrett Cole's winning this, you think?
It would be very funny if Garrett Cole finally wins an AL Cy Young in a year where his team doesn't even sniff the playoffs.
I shouldn't say they suck. It's amazing that they're even. I mean, you look at that team. It's amazing they're four games above 500.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing is, like, if we looked at, you know, I'm trying to think, like, the Pirates, four games over 500, we'd be like, oh, my God, the Pirates are having a great season.
Yep.
But the Mets, or not the Mets, the Yankees, you know, four games over 500 is considered, you know, a lost year, a disaster.
The real question becomes NL Cy Young. Spencer Strider just got shelled the other day. And his ERA is 3.94. And I know that you and I and those who follow baseball analytics and those who have had their nose in fan graphs or the better part of a decade don't necessarily care about ERA. But voters tend to. He can't win at 3.94, can he?
I think it would be essentially unprecedented to win it.
Yeah.
At the 3.9. Like a 3.5 with 300 strikeouts, at least I'll entertain the argument.
He has to have not just one, but two ridiculous performances here to get that.
What does worry me is I noticed on Twitter this week after the start, a lot of people, just random people, not even people I know, were like, oh, yeah, I bet 7.5 to 1. Or I immediately went and bet Strider. Like, everyone thinks it's such a good bet. They're going out and betting it, but the odds aren't moving.
Nope.
And the books are happy to take it. So I'm a little worried, but I'm surprised Justin Steele, the left-handed pitcher on the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs make the playoffs. He can be one of the most unlikely Cy Young winners since, like, probably R.A. Dickey or something.
Well, also one of those that, like, it took till August to really start talking. I mean, we talked about him a little
before. He's been, like, if you look at, like, the Tango number stuff, like, he's there.
He's there.
But it's like, I never talk about him. I'm not betting Justin Steele.
Tango's going to be right about both. Like, well, imagine he has Cole and Gallen still, right? And he might be right about it again in the end.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to make any argument for anybody but Gerrit Cole, but it's
AL's
getting
tough.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, Felix Bautista gave up that grand slam last night. That basically eliminated him if he had any chance. He didn't really have any chance to begin with, but now it definitely doesn't.
Yeah.
So it's like, I guess Cole, not happy about it. I'm not excited, but can't argue with that.
Who's is there a to make the playoffs or to miss the playoffs bet or a division bet that you like right now?
I want to bet more on the Brewers to miss the playoffs, but what separates them from, like, the Reds and the Cubs for the most part is they have really strong top of their pitching staff with Burns and Woodruff when he's healthy and Peralta. Like, that's what makes me hesitant to bet them to miss the playoffs at this point. I'm still interested in the Padres. Like, I'm not, like, running out to bet them, but they're still there. You know, like they've played so bad, and they're still just lingering around.
Wake me up when they're 500.
Exactly. So I expect as August goes on, some of these races are going to get a little tighter and more competitive, but you start seeing the teams that are fading, you know, like the Angels, the Mets, like, we know they're out. The Cubs, I think, if you're betting on a team to make the playoffs, I think the Cubs.
Those are the bets right now. Cubs to make the playoffs, Cubs to win the division.
The Cubs are, you know, I don't want them to win because I have like a 20-1 or 25-1 on the Reds to win the division, but I already know that's not going to win. Like, I'm resigned to that not winning. The Reds just aren't there yet.
Last minute, you bet any golf this weekend?
Rose Zhang, women's British Open . She's on. It starts tonight, so I got her, I think, 16-1. That's all I got so far.
I'm all about it. All right, you're headed to Bet Bash 3. You're headed to the networking, the speed networking. What is it that you hope to accomplish with that?
Oh, man, I don't know. I'd like to meet. There's some serious dudes here.
Yes, there are.
Zajelko came in on his private plane, I heard.
Yes, uh-huh.
I'd sure like to meet him. He's an interesting dude.
It's amazing.
If you're listening, Zajelko, find the guy in the Garfield shirt.
That's right. It is really amazing. Spanky deserves all the credit because if you had said any time ago, I was going to say 5 years ago, but any time, a year ago, whenever, that this collection of folks would actually be at this one conference, you'd be like, there's no way.
No way. There's like 30, 40 people I know here. It's a great time. It's just everywhere I go, I'm shaking hands and saying hi to people.
People screaming Ohtani at you this year?
No. Some Ellie. Some
Ohtani.
Gotta get Gunnar Henderson, you know.
All right.
Good stuff.
Jason,
I appreciate it all.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you for coming down.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia. On the old Twitter machine. We've done all we can do. The Lombardi line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.